Chapter 5. My Benefactor. Time seemed to go by very quickly. Before I knew it, I was 23 years old. I was not living with Herbert's father anymore. Instead, Herbert and I had moved into a place called Garden Court, which was by the river. Over the past few days, there had been some terrible weather in London. It had rained constantly, and because of this, I had stayed indoors the whole time. I was feeling very depressed. Herbert was in France on business, and I missed his cheerfulness. That evening, I was in my room doing some reading. Suddenly, I heard the sound of footsteps. I took my lamp out into the hallway and called out, "Is anyone there?" "Yes," said a voice. "Who are you looking for?" I asked. The voice said, "Mr. Pip." "I am Mr. Pip," I replied. A man slowly walked up the stairs. He was about 60 years old, and he was dressed like a seaman. "What do you want?" I asked him. "I will tell you," he said. We went into my room and he took off his coat. He put out both his hands for me to take. Since I did not recognize him, I was worried that he was crazy. "I have waited so long for this day. Please give me a moment," he said. He sat down and looked around nervously. "Is there anyone with you tonight?" he asked. "Excuse me," I said, "but you are a stranger here. You have no right to ask that." The man laughed and said, "You are quite bold. I am glad you grew up to be bold." Just then, I recognized the man. He was the man I had met in the graveyard many years ago. He was the escaped prisoner. I didn't know what to say. He put his hands out again, and not knowing what to do, I put my hands in his. He continued, "I have always been grateful for how you helped me that day in the graveyard. I pulled away from him. I don't need you to thank me for that. I just hope that you are a changed man," I said harshly to him. He looked hurt, so I said more kindly, "You must stay and have a drink before you go. You are tired and wet." I gave him something warm to drink, and then he told me about what had happened to him. He escaped from the prison one more time and made his way to Australia. There, he became a sheep farmer and made a lot of money. "I see you have done well in life too," he said. "Tell me your story." "Well, I have a benefactor," I stuttered. "Really? Does your yearly income begin with the number 5 by any chance?" he asked me. I was very surprised because my income was £500. How could he know that? I thought. Then he asked me, "You had a guardian before you turned 21, didn't you? His name begins with a J, doesn't it? Is his name Jaggers?" I was horrified. I knew the truth now. This man was my benefactor, and not Miss Havisham, like I first thought. The prisoner saw how shocked I was. "Yes, Pip, I made you a gentleman. After what you did for me, I promised myself that I would work hard so that you could live well," he said. I stepped back from him. I felt terrible that such a man had paid for the life I had been living. I was quite depressed. My great expectations were dust. Miss Havisham wasn't my benefactor. I had hoped so much that Miss Havisham wanted me to marry Estella. It was all a dream. Then I thought of Joe. Poor Joe. I deserted wonderful, kind-hearted Joe for a criminal. The man took my hands again, and as he did so, I felt my heart pound in my chest. "I must sleep somewhere tonight. I have been at sea for months and months," he told me. Even though I did not want the man to stay in my house, I allowed him to sleep in Herbert's room. The next morning, we ate breakfast together, and he told me that his name was Abel Magwitch. He ate breakfast quickly, and as soon as he had finished, he stood up and put a wallet on the table. It was full of money. "It's for you, Pip," he said. "I want you to buy the best of everything and be a real gentleman." "No," I shouted. "I don't want your money. It's not mine." All I want to know is if the police are looking for you. I hope you won't be staying long. You are only visiting for a short while, aren't you? No, I will be in England for good, he said. I can change my appearance, but if the police catch me, they will hang me. You have to find a place for me to live. I didn't know what to do, so Magwitch hid in my room. A few days later, Herbert came back from France. I had to tell him. Magwitch made Herbert hold a Bible and said, Swear you won't tell anyone that you saw me. I felt awful. After all of Herbert's kindness to me, I didn't want to force him to keep this secret. Later that day, when I was alone with Herbert, he said, He can't stay here. He has to leave England and he won't go without you. Herbert was right. I would never be free if Magwitch stayed in England. I decided never to take any money, but after he had given so much to me, I hated the thought of the police catching him. He continued to stay in our apartment and only went out at night for some fresh air. Not long after, the guard warned me that he had seen a stranger outside of our place. The man had a long scar and wore old, torn clothes. The guard said he seemed to be looking up at our windows. He must be after Magwitch, I thought. The next morning I asked, Do you know a man with a long scar on his face? The guard said a man with a scar has been watching our place. I know who he is. His name is Compeyson. He used to be a gentleman, but he was also a thief. He continued, I met him a long time ago, and I became his partner. Together, we planned to cheat people out of money in the horse races. He had the ideas, and I did the dirty work. We were eventually caught, and he, looking like a gentleman, said I was the guilty one. He was sent to prison for only 7 years, whereas I got 14 years. I promised to get revenge one day. I looked at Magwitch. I could see the anger in his eyes. Eventually, we both escaped from the prison on the same night. We found each other in a field and fought. That was around the time when you and I met in the graveyard, he said. There was silence between us for a few moments, and then he said, I heard you know Miss Havisham, is that right? Yes, I answered. Then you would be interested to know that Compeyson was a friend of Miss Havisham's half-brother. He was the man who pretended to love her and then deserted her on her wedding day, Magwitch informed me. The pieces of this strange puzzle were starting to fit together. Herbert and I had to get Magwitch away from Compeyson. In a week, we moved him to another place right on the river. He stayed at Herbert's girlfriend's house at Mill Pond Bank. Magwitch and I planned to catch a steamboat to leave England. I didn't know exactly when the safest time would be to get Magwitch onto the boat, so I rode past the house every evening. I was waiting for a sign from Herbert. One day, I received a message from Mr. Jaggers. He wanted me to join him for dinner. I went and heard that there was a message from Miss Havisham. She would like you to visit her. She also wants you to know that Estella and Drummel are married, Mr. Jaggers told me. I was completely taken by surprise. I had forgotten all about Estella since the arrival of Magwitch. As I sat there, thinking about Estella and Drummel, the housekeeper brought out the dinner. Each time she served a dish, I kept thinking to myself, Who does she remind me of? Then I realized that she looked just like Estella. Could she be Estella's real mother? For the rest of the evening, I could think of nothing else. The next morning, I set out to visit Miss Havisham. When I arrived, the house was in terrible condition, but the worst thing was that Estella was gone. I saw Miss Havisham sitting in the banquet room. She looked so lonely. Who is it? She asked. It is Pip, I answered. I sat down next to her. She started to speak. My heart is not made of stone. If I could change Estella, I would. I regret raising her to be so cold. If you can forgive me, please do so, she begged. I have already forgiven you, I said. I have caused hurt to others too, you know. Then I asked her, Whose child is Estella? Miss Havisham shook her head. Mr. Jaggers brought her to you, didn't he? Yes, when she was about 2 or 3. Her real mother was accused of murder. Jaggers was her lawyer. He didn't tell me anything else about her mother. Evening came, and it was time for me to leave. In the courtyard, I turned to take a last look at the old house. Flames were coming out of the window of the banquet room. I ran into the house. Miss Havisham's old dress had caught on fire. The fire continued, and I pulled the tablecloth off the table and wrapped her in it. She screamed in pain. At last the fire was out, and I looked at my hands. They had also been burned by the fire. The burns were unbearable. A doctor came to take care of Miss Havisham and me. I left soon after.